hands. We're going to pray over our kids this morning. Father, we thank you for our children. We thank you that the fruit of the womb is your reward. These are little blessings sent to us from heaven. God, I thank you that they're going to go back here in the back and they're going to have fun and learn about Jesus, and we bless them today. Thank you for everyone that's serving in our pre-K and in nursery today. We bless our children's workers as well, our volunteers. And God, we just thank you for our children in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. God bless you guys. Go have fun and learn about Jesus. They're already best friends, I can tell. All right, for you big kids, a few other announcements. We have our new bulletins in for June, July, and August. Be sure and pick one of those up before you leave. And if you have others you want to give it to, family and stuff, grab some more as well. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, and 1 Corinthians chapter 10. That's going to be the very last scripture that we look at, one of the last scriptures, I should say, but I want you to see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So Acts chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and then if you're really good, you can go to Luke chapter 11. If you want to hold your places at three places. And I encourage you to bring your Bible, even though I'm going to put most of the scriptures up here on the screen. If you've been here, we've been in a series on the book of Acts. I try to make all of my messages standalone messages just because, you know, so if you happen to be gone one Sunday, you're not like totally clueless what's going on. But we've been in this book of Acts. And I cannot get out of Acts 1 and 2. I mean, golly. And there's a lot there. I've been trying to take this as a chapter at a time, but I just can't get out of Acts 1 and 2. We started off where I talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and we talked about what he gives us is power, right? Power to be a witness, power to live the Christian life. And then the next Sunday we talked about, which would have been Mother's Day, we talked about the fruit of the Spirit. And how the Holy Spirit, when he comes into your life, he wants to start developing the character of Christ in you and through you. And so the fruit of the Spirit is what grows in us, which is the character of Christ. And then last week we talked about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I had a lot of great feedback from all three messages, and I appreciate that. Because these are things, and the reason why I'm trying to bring this in a simple way, a very sound biblical way so that you can see it for yourself in Scripture, because there's been a lot of things. I grew up not knowing who the Holy Spirit was, to be honest with you. I'd hear him referred to every now and then, the Holy Spirit, or if you had the old King James Version, the Holy Ghost, you know. And when you hear Holy Ghost, it's kind of scary, right? And so I kind of grew up with this thought that and just hearing other people talk, never got into the Word for myself, but just hearing what other people had said. So I kind of grew up, to be honest with you, I'm just going to be honest, I grew up Southern Baptist, all right, not Northern, but Southern, that's a joke, by the way. Southern Baptist, I like what Janice said, what separates Southern from the North is sweet tea. I love me some sweet tea. But I grew up that way, but the things that I did hear about the Holy Spirit were always negative or weird or scary. And then I found out as I grew up and started getting to the Word myself that the only part of the Godhead that's here with us right now is the Holy Spirit, and he is not weird. He is not goofy. Now, so there's some people that are weird and goofy, but the Holy Spirit's not weird and goofy, all right? He wants to help us. He wants to comfort us. He wants to guide us. He wants to lead us into all truth. He wants to teach us. There's all those things in the Scripture. And so today, I want to teach us, we're going to kind of go back, maybe I should have started with this message, but I just felt like the Lord said, and it comes from Acts 2:38, and I'm going to show you that here in just a second, but I'm going to do a teaching today, and some of you here is going to be like a review, okay, because you know this, you understand this, I pray that it's even going to give you some revelation to help you teach others as well. But then there's going to be some of you here who's like, I've never heard this before, because I grew up only knowing about, and this is going to be the title of my message. Let me just go ahead and go there. Travis, that's not working for some reason, my little clicker deal, is the first slide is the three baptisms, okay? We're going to talk about the three baptisms: salvation, water baptism, and spirit baptism, okay? The Bible teaches that there are three baptisms, not two, not one, but three. There's some people that believe there's only one baptism, all right? There is just, the scripture even says that, one baptism, but there's three in that one. Just like there's one Lord, is what scripture says, but there's three. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit make up the one Godhead, right? Everybody see that? All right, or hear that? Acts 2:38, this is where I got hung up when I was going through Acts again and just felt like I needed to teach this again because I know how I was raised just knowing about two baptisms and not three. So I want to help you see this in Scripture. In Acts 2:38, it says, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized.'" Okay, let's stop at repent. Repent. Anytime you see the word repent or believe, that is salvation, okay, in Scripture. And then it says, "And let every one of you be baptized," there's water baptized, "in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." There's three. There's the three. The salvation, and I'm going to show you some other scriptures so you can even see it even more plainer than this, but that salvation, water, and spirit. All three baptisms in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Okay, we're going to talk about the first one. The first one is when you get saved. And this is where people say, "Well, I've already got the Holy Spirit." Yeah, you do, okay? When you get saved, because of this. Number one, the Holy Spirit baptizes us in Jesus. When you get saved, what happens is you feel it's not in and of yourself. Yes, you have to make the choice. You have to receive Him by faith. But the Holy Spirit begins to move. How many of you remember when the Holy Spirit began to woo you into the kingdom of God, into God? I remember the day. Begin to woo me in the family. What the Holy Spirit was doing at that time was He was introducing you to Jesus. Okay? And so the Holy Spirit is the one that baptizes us in Jesus. That's when you say, "Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior." The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Okay? And it doesn't say that you have to sign it, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this here in just a second. You don't have to sign a church roll, church membership roll. Do I believe in church family? Yes. You need a church family. Just like you have a physical family, a blood family, you need a spirit family as well. Everybody, you need a church family. You need to find a good church home. I pray that this is the one that you've chosen, because we try to be a very good church family around here to one another. You need both. Can you go to heaven without a church family? Yeah, you can. But it's so much easier and better if you have a church family, because we go through, in life, we go through things. Amen? And we need each other. All right, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism, this is what you call, I'm going to get a little technical here with English today and grammar, but this is what you call the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's when He baptizes us in Jesus. And this is 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. It says, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, the body of Christ, into Jesus, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." So this is what you call the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's different than the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is salvation. And everybody said, amen. Okay, now here's number two. Number two is the disciples baptize us in water. Okay, Matthew 28, verse 19 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." There's the Godhead again, the three in one right there. The disciples baptize us in water. Read you another scripture that the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 4. It says, "Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ, Jesus, were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Now, let me tell you something. Baptism, and some people say, "Well, baptism is just a symbol and just a sign." It's more than that. It is. It's a sign and a symbol, but it's way more than that. All right, it's a public confession of your faith. I've had some people, they won't do that. They won't go through this because they're embarrassed to do it. Okay, let me tell you something. Jesus hung on a cross for you naked and died for your sins. You owe it to him to do a public confession of your faith. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So that don't hold, no pun intended, that don't hold no water, all right, whenever you're trying to get by not doing it because that's going to embarrass me. Guys, I'm getting chicken skin just from saying that, just because that just does not hold any water. You need, once you get saved, the very next thing that you need to do is to follow the Lord in water baptism. Just as soon as you can get her done. Amen? That's what you need to do because you're making a public confession of your faith. There's also, that's not just a symbol. It's not just a sign. It's not just a public confession of your faith. There are things that happen very spiritually in that water when you get baptized. The best type and shadow that I can tell you in Scripture, here's the deal. If Jesus did it, how much more do we need to do it? He did it. He went to John and said, we got to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Because John was saying, I need to be baptized by you. And Jesus said, no, I need you to do this for me because this is going to fulfill all righteousness. But the other thing that happens in these waters is that the best example I can give you is in the Old Testament when the Bible says that the children of Israel passed through the Red Sea. Remember that story? That's a type and shadow of water baptism. Well, what happened when they got on the other side of going through the Red Sea was the enemy, Pharaoh and his army, was drowned, and they no longer went back to their slave lifestyle. Okay? So there was something very spiritual that happens in those waters. It does something to you spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and physically when you follow the Lord in water baptism. Some of you in here were like me, and I'm just going to encourage you to do this. You had an experience with the Lord. You had an encounter with God, and then you got water baptized as a child. All right, but later in life, you came back to God, or so to speak, you know, renewed your commitment or whatever, and I'm just going to encourage you, you need to do it again. You need to get water baptized again. I've been baptized twice, okay? Second time took. Took two for me. I've baptized people 3 and 4 times. It's okay, all right? Yeah, but I encourage you to follow the Lord in water baptism, all right? Don't just say, well, I did that as a baby. You know, they sprinkled me or whatever, or dedicated me. Mine was when I was 9 years old, and it was at the Baptist church here in Leedy. But what happened with me was at the age of 23, after Jade and I had been married for a year, you know, marriage will do a lot to you. You know what? Marriage will help you find God pretty quick. And so after 1 year of marriage, I found the Lord again, and Jade and I realized, even though we both had been baptized when we were kids, that we needed to do it again. And so I'm just sharing that with you today. Some of you in here need to do it again, okay? And if the Holy Spirit's telling you to do that, then get with me, and we can fill up this baptistry, and we have a nice warm baptistry right now, right? And we can do that again. All right, so it's very important. It's more than a sign or symbol. There's spiritual things that happen in those baptism waters. Now, here's the third one, and this is where I'm going to spend some time on today, is the third baptism is this one. And this is one that a lot of people haven't heard of, especially here in Western Oklahoma, even in the Bible Belt, okay? And the reason why, and I'm not, it's just because we've never been taught. I was never taught this. And so that's why I feel the burden to teach y'all this and to teach anybody that will listen, because this is what made the difference in my life and in my walk with the Lord, is when I started learning about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So this is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. All right, the Holy Spirit doesn't do it. The Holy Spirit does the baptizing, but who does the baptizing is Jesus. Jesus baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. That's his baptism. Let me share it this way, and I heard a pastor say this one time. And this is what happens at salvation. The Holy Spirit introduces you to Jesus. Amen? Okay. A disciple does the water baptism just to make your faith public, let everybody know that you're a Christian. And then Jesus introduces you to the Holy Spirit. That's like that. And I just love how they all work together, the Godhead, introducing us to one another. And then Jesus and the Holy Spirit both introduce us to the Father. Okay, Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. This is John the Baptist speaking, and he says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, how many of you understand English? In English, right there, there's two different baptisms. I don't know how anybody, any theologian, can look at the Word of God and say that there's only two. Right there is the third one. John is saying, and here's the other thing. I'm going to go ahead and say this right now before we go any further, because some people will say, well, it was just for the Acts. It was just for the, in the book of Acts, it was just for the apostles. Oh, no, it's for everybody. Okay, in that situation right there, the 12 apostles weren't even standing there when John the Baptist said that. It was other people from all around the country that were standing there when John the Baptist said that day. The disciples didn't even hear it. So that don't hold no water. So this is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, to go a little bit further, we're going to go into the Gospels, and I'm going to show you this, is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you want to get really technical, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are still the Old Testament. The New Testament starts in the book of Acts. And the book of Acts doesn't have an end to it, so we're supposed to we're the sequel to the book of Acts, okay? Because the church is still here, the church age. And so in the Gospels, there's not very many things that are said in all four Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now I'm going to just a little side note of teaching here. There's actually five things that are said in all four Gospels. One is the birth of Jesus. Two is his death on the cross. The third is the resurrection right there. That's salvation. We all need to hear that. That's the gospel message. Here's the other thing that's spoken in all four Gospels is the feeding of the 5,000, because we have a miraculous God. And get this, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So if it's in all four Gospels, then it must be pretty important to God that he wants us to get it and understand it. And so I'm going to show you the other scriptures real quick in the Gospels. By the way, Matthew, Mark, and Luke are the synoptic Gospels, which just means they're similar. Means as you're reading them, as you're studying the Gospels, you might say, golly, I read that somewhere before. And then after you read Matthew, you read Mark, and you're like, I read that before. And then you'll read Luke, and you're like, I'm pretty sure I've read that before. Well, it's because they all write about the similar stories. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke talk about the last year of Jesus' life or his ministry. John talks about the first 2 years of Jesus' ministry. So a little side note there. Mark 1:8 is the next gospel where in the gospel where he says, I indeed baptized you with water. This is John the Baptist speaking again, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. There they are, plain as day, too. Luke 3:16, John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Luke said it again. Guess where we're going next? John chapter 1, verse 33 says, I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom and who sent him was God the Father. And God the Father told John the Baptist, said, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And that day when John saw Jesus coming, God the Father said, that's him. And that's when John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And God, can you just imagine being there that day? And John the Baptist, it's powerful. Now, I'm going to show you this in Scripture. Now, we're going to go do a little jet tour through some Acts and some other Scripture. And I'm going to show you the baptism pattern, okay, the three. All right? And I'm also going to show you that it wasn't just for the apostles, okay? It's for all of us. And so here's the baptism pattern. This is in Acts chapter 8, verse 12. By the way, this story here was recorded 5 years. This event happened 5 years after Pentecost, after the initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Acts 8, verse 12, it says, but when they believed, their salvation, Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Okay, there's water baptism. Now we're going to jump down to verse 14 in Acts chapter 8. It says, "Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the right hand of fellowship, because they already had everything that they needed." No. All right, I'm trying to get you into this story with me, okay? "Who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit." Because they hadn't received him yet. "For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus," water baptism. "Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit." There's all three. Everybody see that? That's 5 years after Pentecost is when that happened. And it was Philip, and Philip wasn't even one of the original 12, all right, that was there ministering to them. Acts chapter 19. I'm going to go to Acts chapter 19. I'm going to skip over. There's another story in Acts 10 with the Gentiles, which that's how we came to know the Holy Spirit, is what happened in Acts chapter 10. And that happened actually 10 years after Pentecost. This story, Acts chapter 19, this story happened 25 years after Pentecost, okay? It says, "And it happened when Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples," and by the way, before I get any further into this story, this is the one story in Scripture when I read the book of Acts that jumped out to me and helped me to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This one right here. Verse 2, it says, "And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him," this is the same church I grew up in, "we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." Been there, okay? Been to that church. We're not that church. If you come to this church, you're going to know who the Holy Spirit is. Verse 3 says, "And he said to them, into what then were you baptized?" Because Paul's like, okay, take a step back. I need to know what you were baptized into. "And so they said," I love this, "so they said, into John's baptism." And so Paul then knew, okay, they're believers. "Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." There's water baptism again. "And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied." There's all three. "And they spoke with tongues and prophesied." And when I read that, I was like, okay, first of all, this is the Apostle Paul, who's one of the greatest apostles that has ever lived. And he's telling these people, and these people saying, we ain't even heard of the Holy Spirit. And when he come down here, it says, "When Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied." And the first time I read that, this is the first thought that came to me. Tongues are not of the devil. Because that was something that was told to me one time by somebody that had been sitting in church for 40 years. Okay? Just being honest, telling the truth up here. And then I finally got into the Word myself, and I saw it, and I'm like, number one, tongues are not demonic, and tongues are not of the devil. They're from God. Now, there's a whole other teaching that I'm going to bring. Today is the three baptisms. This is what I have planned, okay? I'm just telling you what Mark's got planned. I listen to him, so if he tells me do something else during the week, then we'll do something else. But then next Sunday, I'm going to teach on what is Pentecost, and then the next Sunday, I'm going to teach on, we're going to get into this subject about tongues and why it's in the book of Acts and why we need it, why it's a benefit to believers, and because people haven't been taught about it. That's what I have planned. We will see how all that goes, God called me to be a teacher, and when I get up here, I just want to just blast it out. And Jada really helps me. Jay's like, Mark, you're like a fire hose. You need to start learning how to be a sprinkle, sprinkle a little bit, because people can't do this. You know, it's, do the fire hose thing, you knock people down, and they're like, my gosh, you know? And how something grows is you sprinkle, you know? and then let it soak. And so I'm trying to, because yesterday, this week, I was trying to combine two messages into one today, and the Holy Spirit said, no, don't do that. You need to break this down even more. Okay, so 1 John 5, verses 7 through 8 is another scripture. And I'm going to show you, these are the three baptisms again. I'm just trying to show you the three baptisms all through scripture. 1 John 5, verses 7 through 8. And the Apostle John says, for there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, which we all know that Jesus is the Word, right? Jesus is the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit. Those three bear witness in heaven. And these three are one. And there are three, now listen to this, and there are three that bear witness on the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree as one. Anywhere where you see repent and believe at salvation, anywhere where you see the blood, that's salvation too, because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins, all right? So there's the three baptisms. There's Spirit baptism, water baptism, and salvation. There's the three, again, right there in Scripture. 1 John 5, verses 7 through 8. Told you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and it says, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that our fathers were under the cloud. This is talking about the Old Testament, because Moses and the children of Israel, it's a type and shadow of the same thing. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that our fathers were under the cloud. Cloud represents the Holy Spirit. All passed through the sea, water baptism. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. There's all three of them. Moses was their type of deliverer, and just like Jesus is our deliverer. So there's all three baptisms. Moses, that's baptizing Moses, that's salvation. In the cloud, Spirit baptism. In the sea, water baptism. Everybody seeing it? Is this helping people? Okay. Because I want to equip you with this so that you can even teach somebody else. You can take this same exact message, some of these scriptures, and show other people about the three baptisms in Scripture. Now I'm going to, this is what I'm going to close with today. And I want you to go to Luke chapter 11. That's the actual last scripture that we're going to look at today. But I want to close with this illustration. And I should have had a picture of the tabernacle on this, and I may bring one next Sunday to show you and go over this again. But the tabernacle of Moses, all right, it's in the Old Testament. Everything in the Old Testament's a type and shadow. It all points to Jesus. And in the tabernacle of Moses, you can read about it in the book of Exodus, how God gave Moses the blueprint to this tabernacle. And what it was actually a makeshift church in the middle of the wilderness or the desert so that the children of Israel could worship God, okay, and do their sacrifices and all those things. And it's pretty, because the way they made it was almost like a tent, and they could pack it up, and the priests, the Levite tribes were the ones that carried it, and they would carry it, and they had the Ark of the Covenant and all these things in it. It's real interesting, but God gave Moses this blueprint from heaven on how to build it. And so the tabernacle of Moses, just to kind of give you an idea of how big it was, the tabernacle of Moses was 75 feet wide, okay? So this building is 50 feet wide. All right, so it's 25 more feet wider, and then it was 150 feet long. Well, this building's 150 feet long. So that kind of gives you an idea how big the tabernacle was. And so there was only, you came into it from the east, all right? There was only one way into it, one way into the tabernacle. So it's set this way, right, from the east, if we're looking. I got my directions right? Yeah, east over here. And so there was only one way into it, so I was already telling you, there's only one way to the presence of God, and that's through Jesus. Jesus is the door. And so when you come in, there's the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies, all right? Holy of Holies was made up of the most holy place and then the Holy of Holies, and that's where the Ark of the Covenant was at. And this is a whole, I mean, there's so much in the tabernacle of Moses, but I'm just going to break it down to this so that you can see the three baptisms even in the tabernacle of Moses. When you first came into the tabernacle of Moses, the first thing that you had to do was there was an altar, and that's where you had to do the sacrifice of the lamb, okay, before you do anything else. That's where the blood was shed. So that's salvation. Everybody see that? The second thing is that you had to do was the laver, and that was water, where you had to clean up. There it is, water baptism. The third thing that you had to do, and this is, even though I understand, because I know somebody's going to come up to me after church that really knows the Word of God and is going to say, well, that was just for the priests. You know, yeah, but we can all go in now because of what Jesus did, okay? Jesus is our high priest, right? But I'm just showing you the three baptisms that are even there in the tabernacle of Moses. And so the third thing that you had to do, that the priest had to do before he could go into the Holy of Holies, was they took a flask of oil and poured it over him. They anointed him with oil. So there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's a type, you know, oil is a type and shadow of the Holy Spirit. So there's the three baptisms: salvation, water baptism, Holy Spirit baptism. Now here's what happens. And I'm going to use the tabernacle of Moses, and I'm going to relate it to us living in the New Testament now. Is if the priest said, okay, you know what? I'm going to do the altar, because I know we got to do that. We got to sacrifice the lamb. I'm going to do the laver. I'm okay with that. Got to wash up. But I ain't going to let anybody dump oil on my head, because that's weird. And then I got to go wash up later, and it stays in my hair forever. I'm just being real with you, okay? If they said that and they missed, they said, I'll do the altar and I'll do the laver, but forget the oil, because that's just too messy. That's just too weird. I'm not going to have somebody dump, you know, oil over my head and be sticky for days. What happened was, if that priest went in the Holy of Holy like that, not going through all three, you know what happened to him? He died. He needed all three. Now I'm going to relay that to the New Testament. The reason why a lot of believers are walking around today undefeated and dying on the inside is because they haven't had all three. They're trying to live the Christian life in and of themselves, trying to do it on their own, and saying, you know what, God, the Holy Spirit's too weird, so I don't really, what you're really saying is, now hear me out, okay, because I know most of you in here have never, just like me, we've never been taught, but when we think that, the Holy Spirit's weird and all that, and I don't need that, you're just basically saying, I don't need God to live the overcoming Christian life. I can do it by myself. I'm telling you what, I need the whole Godhead to live the Christian life. I need the Father, I need the Son, and I need the Holy Spirit. I need all three of them. We all need all three of them. Don't bypass one of them. Because, well, I'm not going to do water baptism because I don't want to get embarrassed and I don't want to get wet. I sure don't want the flask of oil over my head. You know, this, I don't know why I just thought of this, but the flask of oil, it was so funny. There's a pastor that I knew, and he was talking about one time he had a service, he had a meeting, and he said, I just felt like the Holy Spirit said, there's going to be some people come up in the altar for healing, and you're going to go take the oil, because we have anointing oil, but instead of just anointing them with oil, I just want you to pour it over their head. And so he's like, yeah, you know, and so he went and got the oil, and this first lady came up, he just pulled her over her head, and she was just miraculously healed, right? And it was just glorious. And so he took that as a formula, and he's like, when I go to my next meeting, I'm going to do that again. Guess what? God didn't move the same way twice. And I just thought that was fun. I don't know why I threw that out there, but just want to throw that one out there. But here's the deal. You can't skip these steps. You can't. You need the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to live the overcoming Christian life. And everybody said amen. All right. Here's what we're going to, as we conclude, I want you to remember the following. The Holy Spirit baptizes us into Jesus. The disciples baptize us in water. Jesus baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. And then you'll have people say, okay, I'm hoping you're seeing it now, and I'm hoping light bulbs are turning on, revelation. But I don't want just revelation. I want this to manifest in your life, okay? Then people will say, well, then how do I receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Well, you receive it just like you receive Jesus, as you do it by faith. And everybody said, There's no special formula. There's no thing that you got to stand on your head. There's no deal that you're going to come up here and I'm going to pour oil over your head and it's going to happen. Is that you receive it by faith. You receive it by faith. And so here's what I want to end with today is Luke chapter 11, verses 11 through 13. It says, if a son asks for bread, and this is Jesus speaking. He says, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? All you got to do is ask. All right? Now, here's how I'm going to close today is I could lay hands on you, but I felt like the Holy Spirit said, if you're here today on a Sunday morning and you say, Pastor Mark, maybe you need to follow the Lord in water baptism. Well, talk to me after church and we'll get that done next Sunday. But maybe you're here and you say, you know what, I've got two. I've got salvation and water, but after I've heard this teaching, I know I need the Holy Spirit baptism. What I'm going to have you do is just stand up and act like you're receiving a gift. I want you to just put your hands out like this, and then I'm going to pray over you, okay? And to receive, and this is not, I don't want you to think the Holy Spirit's not going to come on you and do anything, make you, you know, goofy, weird, or anything like that. You've got to, by faith, ask him to baptize you. When this happened to me, I'm going to tell you what happened to me. What happened to me is the scripture came alive. It wasn't just a history book. This was like, this is living word of God. I began to see things in scripture that I'd never seen before because the Holy Spirit was teaching me. It wasn't just Mark Haney reading the word. I was reading the word with the Holy Spirit. Amen? So there's a lot of things that happen besides, because we all, you know, because I was raised in a denomination where I went to another denomination that said, well, the baptism, the Holy, you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit unless you have the evidence of speaking in tongues. I don't know if I believe that from what the Word says, okay? Then some people say, well, then how do you know? Well, then how do you know? Now, here's the deal. When I get to that part about tongues, don't leave here today, and I'm saying that tongues isn't beneficial. Every believer needs to speak in tongues. That's why the Apostle Paul said, I wish every one of you did. Because everybody needs it. It's a benefit. It's like a power source. It's like charging your battery. It's like encourages you when you do it. Everybody needs it. But so many people are scared of it. Don't be scared of it. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Don't be scared of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not weird. The Holy Spirit's a gentleman. One day, I was just like this in a service. The minister that was leading the service, she asked the same thing. And she just said, you know, just stand and receive the Holy Spirit. And I did. And I was just like, by faith, Lord, I receive the Holy Spirit. I didn't feel anything. Nothing really happened. I was kind of bummed out. Because I saw some other people having some experiences with God. And I was like, you know, you know. But I knew in my heart, I've asked by faith. And then I started getting in the Word of God, and I was like, man, I've never seen that before. And it was to the point where I was like, what is going on? You know, it was like, and then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit started tapping on my shoulder and saying, I'm showing you the Word of God because I'm going to call you in the ministry. I'm like, no, you ain't. You know, I'll never forget the first time I told, I can share this because she's not in here, she's in nursery, is Jada. First time I told Jada, I was like, I said, hey, I got to tell you something. I said, this Saturday we've been going to church for a little while and was being taught about the Holy Spirit and was asking for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and had received it, even though I didn't have my language or my prayer language, is what I want to, you know, my personal prayer language yet. The Word was coming alive to me. Other things were happening, and I was still pursuing. I'll never forget, I was in a car. I worked for a bank in Elk City, and I was in their bank car one day because I had to appraise properties, and I was in the car, and I was praying. And I was telling God, I was like, God, you know, I believe by faith that I've received the Holy Spirit, but I'd sure like to know, you know, and I want to be able to do that, be able to have that prayer language, because I heard a little old lady in our church, her name was Olita Glasgow, and she's went home to be with the Lord now, And she came up to me one Sunday when I was praying to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and she was praying in her prayer language, and she sounded like a beautiful angel. I was like, I want that. And it happened in that bank car. Yeah, I had to pull over and stop, and I was just boo-hooing and just praising God. I didn't care who was driving by at that time. But what I'm trying to tell you is, if nothing happens today, it did happen because you asked by faith. But you're going to have to keep pursuing, keep asking. That's why Jesus said, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, okay? So that you become, that you know that you've got it, amen? Because he wants to help you, and and he's not weird, he's not goofy, and I'm sorry for some of the things that people have been taught or heard from other churches. And here's another thing I want to say, and I didn't say this in the beginning of all this, because somebody needs to hear this. Is all you have to become saved, you just have to call upon the name of Jesus, all right? And repent and believe. That's all you need to get into heaven. Because there's some people that teach, well, you got to have salvation, and you got to have water baptism, or you're not going to make it. No, you just have to have that first one to make it. But you want to follow, if you're still here on planet Earth, you want to follow water baptism and spirit baptism so that you can live an overcoming Christian life. Amen. Amen. What happens at salvation is you get introduced to this new life by the Holy Spirit through Jesus, all right? And then to signify that I'm in this new life, you get water baptism, and then the Holy Spirit comes along and baptizes you in the Holy Spirit to give you the power to walk in that new life. That's what happens. But go back to what I was going to share about salvation and water baptism. There's some people that teach that you got to have both to get to heaven. No, you don't. And I have scripture to prove that is the thief on the cross. Okay? The thief on the cross done a whole bunch of bad stuff in his life. He's hanging on a cross right next to Jesus. The other guy was mocking Jesus, is what the word says, putting him down. And this guy realized, had a revelation. Who did it was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said, this is the Son of God that is right next to you. And he said, Lord, remember me. Will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? What did Jesus say? He said, today you're going to be with me in paradise. He didn't say, gosh dang, buddy. If we weren't hanging here, I could holler at one of my disciples to go down there to the River Jordan and baptize you. You know, or the guy that was hanging on the cross, He didn't come down off the cross and they go baptize him. He goes, I'll be back in just a little bit. You know, he went to heaven that day. He was in paradise that day because he called upon the name of Jesus. I'm telling you guys, I'm just going to say this right now from this pulpit. There's going to be a whole bunch of people in heaven that you never thought would have been there. And there's going to be a whole bunch of people that are not in heaven that you thought should be there. Because there's a whole bunch of people sitting in church, and they don't have a relationship with Jesus. It's just a social club. Because they want to get there and see what Sister Sue or Brother Bob's wearing, or who they're working for. What? There's a lot of that stuff that goes on. So the reason why I'm saying that is because when I minister the gospel to a crowd of people, I don't take it for granted that everybody there is saved. Any Sunday that I stand up here. I've sat here because there was times I've had something happen in my ministry where I thought somebody was saved and they'd been sitting in church for several years and they finally said, I got saved today. I was like, do what? You know, and they said, no, it finally made sense to me today. I've been sitting here, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. You know, some people hear, you know, the first time, some of us are hard-headed and it takes us a while. Amen. And I've seen the same way with the Holy Spirit. And the reason why I'm sharing all this is because if nothing happens today, something happened today because you asked by faith. Just because you don't have some kind of manifestation, all right? Just like when you got saved, all right? You got saved by faith. How do you know it? Yeah, you know, the Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of God, okay? That's how you know. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. He wants to give you the power to live this overcoming life. And did everybody learn something today? Okay. If you desire, this is how I'm going to close today. If you desire the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I just want you to stand up, okay, and just hold out your hands, all right? If you're here today and you're like, I want the baptism, and I just want you to hold your hands out like this, like you're receiving a gift, okay? And I want the rest of us here to be praying with them, okay, praying with me. And I'm just going to pray just a simple prayer over you that you'd receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Father, and I'm going to go ahead and say this too, and I'm not going to have you come up here or anything, but as you're standing there, you may need to, something that I had to do, that I felt like I needed to do, and so I'm just going to share it with you. You may have to say, Lord, I repent of believing something else, you know, about you, or about the Holy Spirit, something that I was, you know, taught wrongly about. For me, it was somebody had told me one time that tongues were of the devil, and that just immediately put the Holy Spirit in this weird category, and I had to realize that Jesus is not crazy. The Holy Spirit's not crazy. In fact, the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, Jesus says, is a gift to help us to live the overcoming Christian life here on this planet, but also not only to help us, give us power to live an overcoming Christian life, but with that life, be a blessing to other people. It's like lifestyle evangelism. Like through us, he's giving you the power to be a witness. So as you're standing up, you may just say, Lord, just, you know, forgive me. I repent of, you know, false teaching, believing something when I didn't even know what the Word of God says. And just, you know, just a real simple prayer like that. Father, as they're doing that, God and Lord, right now I just pray that they would begin to ask by faith. So right now, just begin to ask by faith. Say, Lord, just like you said, Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. Just say, Holy Spirit, I believe that you're real. And Lord Jesus, I want you to baptize me in your Holy Spirit. Just that simple. Now, Father, these ones that are standing in here today, they're asking by faith. And God, I pray that today is a start of something in their life. God, they're receiving that power from on high today. God, I pray as they leave here today that they're going to know that they're a child, a son, or a daughter of the Most High God. Lord, they're going to have that inner witness. God, they're going to begin to know that they've been filled with the Holy Spirit. I pray that your word begin to come alive to them, God, in Jesus' name, that they begin to hear your voice like they've never heard it before, God. I pray as they seek, and as we continue in this series on the book of Acts and learn more about this, that they're going to have their own personal, private prayer language, God, where they're going to know how to pray in the Holy Spirit and bypass their mind and let the Holy Spirit pray through them, and that Holy Spirit's going to encourage them and exhort them and comfort them and give them everything that they have need of. God, I pray that they would seek that they'd keep asking, seeking, and knocking. It may happen today. It may happen tomorrow. It may happen a few days later. It may be happening driving in a vehicle like it did with me. And so, Lord, I just pray for these men and women that are standing here today. I thank you, Lord, that they have asked by faith. They are receiving by faith. And God, your Holy Spirit, you have baptized them in your Holy Spirit because your word is true. And God, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You guys can be seated. And then I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning and close your eyes. Maybe I should have done this one first, but I want to make sure that everyone here, before we leave today, I know I do this every Sunday, so I don't take it for granted who's here on Sunday mornings, who's even watching online, who's going to end up listening to this on social media or on radio, but I want to make sure that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior before you leave here today. So I'm going to lead you in a prayer. It's out of Romans 10, what I said during the message about confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer with them. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen, amen. I'm going to speak a blessing over you today. We're going to go ahead and dismiss. If you need special prayer, I'm going to be here to do that. But if you need to follow the Lord in water baptism, I want you to, because I'm going to go back here and greet each one of you as you leave today. But if you need water baptism, I want you to tell me before you leave today, because we'll get that, the holy hot tub filled up on Memorial Day weekend and have some water baptisms around here. But I want everybody to stand up in here, and if you're with family there, join hands with them, and I'm going to speak a blessing over you today. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ, to the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it, and everybody said, amen. Hug somebody's neck and say, I have been baptized. Amen.